Hey, y'all, this is Bud Elliott of the Knollcast, ready to give the instant reaction podcast after Florida State beat Wake Forest 17-6. Not going to sugarcoat this. That's a pretty embarrassing effort by the Seminoles on the day. I mean, an 11-point win over a Wake Forest team that, while improved, really is not a good team. A Wake Forest team that didn't have its top receiving threat in the tight end who was out. Wake Forest team who didn't have its top running quarterback, Kendall Hinton, who had elected to keep out of the ballgame as he rests up from an injury. A Wake Forest team that loses its right tackle about halfway through. Just a piss poor effort from the offense. Period. Again, another terrible, terrible job by Jimbo Fisher's offense in the first half of a game. Let's run through these really quick. Scoring in the first half by Florida State's offense against Power 5 teams. Five games this year. 13 points, 10 points, 7 points, 3 points, and then 10 points again. That's garbage. And I saw that Jimbo Fisher said that the offense was really moving the ball. It just wasn't finishing drives. That's really not true. In fact, it's just total nonsense. If you look at Florida State's offense in the first half, and you take away the meaningless Hail Mary that didn't score to Travis Rudolph, which is a successful play for Wake Forest, not for Florida State. It was 58 yards, but yet it's a success for Wake because the play didn't score and the half was over. So if you define success rate there, if the play scores, success for FSU. If it doesn't, success for Wake, regardless of the yards gained. So if you take out that 58-yard explosive play, which is really not indicative of how the offense played all day, but especially not in the first half, this idea that Florida State moved the ball and just didn't finish drives is nonsense. 37 plays in the first half by Florida State. 168 yards. That's 4.5 yards per play at home against Wake Forest. That's just bad offense. It's just not good. It's lethargic. I'm pulling up here real quickly. Yards allowed by Wake Forest, yards per play. To put that in perspective, 4.5 yards per play is terrible. Wake allowed in Wake Forest, 4 to Tulane, 4.7 to Duke. Delaware only got 2.24, so a lot better than them. Indiana, in Indiana, 7.73. NC State, 6.93. Syracuse, again, in Wake Forest in some pretty nasty conditions, 4.94. 4.5 yards per play by Florida State and only 10 points in the first half. One of the reasons why this team is so bad in first halves is because the defense has been trash. No way around that. But one of the other reasons is because the offense is garbage in the first half. And this is on Jimbo Fisher's shoulders squarely because he has not done anything to correct it. They've not done a good job in the first half of games, and it's really caused them several issues. Number one, it's made them play a lot of close games. What does that mean? It means you have to leave your starters in a lot more. If you want to get your backups in, you want to get them some experience, it helps to blow teams out. One of the ways they could do that is with some tempo, but Florida State's offense is just so slow and lethargic, and I don't know why that is. There's all kinds of theories out there. Maybe it's because Jimbo Fisher thinks he is such an offensive genius that it's worth it for the offense to just be bogged down and slow for him to get the perfect play call in. Maybe so. Certainly, I think he knows a heck of a lot about offense, but the offense is really underperforming, especially in first half of games. They look really disjointed. It's tough as an offense to play that slow of a tempo. And then they had turnovers as well in the first half. Just a terrible offensive performance on the day. If you take out the Hail Mary, which didn't succeed, again, 5.2 yards per play, 5.18. Just a terrible day of offense. And that's disappointing because the defense for the second week in a row has put things together, and I'll talk about that in a second, because there's some positives and there's some fool's gold there. But in the Instant Reaction podcast, we don't typically go too in-depth, because I want to have time to go back and rewatch the game, and I don't want to say things I'm later going to regret. However, it's not hard to notice the pattern of the terrible first half scoring by this team. And that's on the coaching staff. But I don't think any position really played well on offense today. Travis Rudolph had a big day. There's no doubt about it. I mean, 200-something yards. Obviously, a chunk of that was the bomb. But a chunk of that also was a lot chunk of that was him, you know, playing well. Other than that, though, DeAndre Francois missed open guys, both in terms of seeing them and in terms of getting the ball accurately to them. Pretty clear he was in a decent amount of pain. You know, you wonder, did he run the risk of injuring the shoulder more or re-injuring it? I'm going to guess not, because I don't think that Florida State would have put him out there if he did. It's not like you couldn't beat Wake Forest with Sean McGuire, or at least I wouldn't think so. But he was, you know, inaccurate a lot today. And even on some of the completions he did make, they were completions that really, he was essentially getting the minimum number of yards possible on a play. There were several times where he threw the ball so far behind somebody that it made the receiver stop their route and fall down to catch the ball. I don't know who is fully in charge of the protections, whether that's Francois or the offensive line or a combination of both. But the protection in this game was really poor. Francois was constantly hit. Now, part of that is definitely him holding on to the football, and we should not put this all on the offensive line. We also saw some kind of half-assed pass protection attempts from some of the running backs, including Dalvin Cook, who got called out for it on the ESPN broadcast in the second half. But the offensive line played poorly, I think, especially in the first half. They were better in the second half, but still, that's only half a game. Not putting a full game together, or even a majority of a game together, is not acceptable. They turned way too many guys loose. Florida State's trying to scheme up some deep shots and go max protect at times, and they still had guys come free. Dalvin Cook, I mean, two costly fumbles in this game. Those are drive killers. Jimbo Fisher is right about that. Turnovers do kill drive. That's a truism. And then the receivers, for the most part, didn't get any separation at times. Now, at times that they were schemed wide open, but you didn't really see them necessarily getting themselves open by embarrassing defenders and playing like receivers that you should think Florida State should have. You know, I don't think it's accurate to say the offense wasn't trying. But I do think it's accurate to say the offense didn't play with an edge. There was no tempo. There was no pace. There was no attention to detail, and there was no focus. And I think I had to figure out what I'm going to call this podcast, but I might go with promises broken or broken promises, because that pledge that Jimbo Fisher had all these guys sign, where was that? I don't know if that worked at all. I'm sure he's going to say that it did, but hell, those guys easily could have just gotten up for that Miami game. At least on offense, they were right back down to the low effort, low energy, low focus. I thought they would at least carry the focus over into this week just to prove that they weren't just a one-game wonder as far as actually playing with energy and with effort. That's a Wake Forest team that a team with Florida State's talent should destroy. And I know Florida State's had issues this year, most of them in totality on the defense, but the offense is just so bad in the first half of games. They improved to 5.2 yards per play total. That's pretty pathetic. Defensively, there were some things I really liked. I liked the effort from the defensive line. I liked the hustle that the defense is showing. I liked the physicality. I thought those were all great. I liked more press coverage from Florida State. Wake Forest receivers are not any good. And so Florida State went up and for the most part, asserted their dominance over them. They're pulling this up here, but Yeah, Wake Forest had 184 yards passing on 34 attempts with two interceptions and no touchdowns. That's terrible, which is a credit mostly to Florida State's defense. They also had five sacks and seven tackles for loss and created three turnovers. Wake Forest was 5 of 16 on third down, 0 of 2 on fourth down. Only 3.8 yards per play in total for Wake Forest. That's legitimately good defense by FSU. There's no doubt about it. I like the play of Dontavius Jackson at times as he replaced Matthew Thomas, who missed the first half of the game with a suspension for his targeting against Miami, which, by the way, Miami lost to North Carolina, if you haven't seen already. So that's interesting to see. Tavares McFadden, again, with some interceptions. Also gave up some completions. He's kind of a, not saying he's a gambler, but he certainly has a lot of length. So if he's in position to make a play, he oftentimes does. But, you know, still learning as a player and growing and certainly one of the younger players on the team. But I like what I see. I thought Trey Marshall was all over the field today. That was really good to see out of him. Ermin Lane continues to emerge a little bit. But, and Marquez White had a nice play as well where he drove on a ball to pick it off. But I mentioned that Miami lost to North Carolina. That's sort of instructive here. Miami has scored, I believe, only 6 or 7 touchdowns against the three Power Five teams it's played. Georgia Tech, not a good defense. North Carolina, not a good defense. And Florida State, not a good defense. So the effort that Florida State gave against Wake Forest or against Miami last week is less impressive to me now after seeing what Miami did against North Carolina, because it sort of continues to further the narrative that, hey, maybe Miami's offense is not that good. They really can't run the ball that well against decent opponents. They, you know, Brad Kaya has maybe not played like an NFL pick. The more and more games that he doesn't play like that, the more we can say that. And I really wonder how much of this translates to what Florida State can do against a Clemson, against an NC State, against whoever they might play in a bowl game. Because I listened to the broadcast today as well, and one of the comments on the broadcast was that Florida State doesn't have zone players to play zone defense. And I kind of laughed at myself, and I said, that's not true. Florida State has tons of talent on defense. It's pretty clear they've not been coached up all that well. They perhaps, as indicated by the promise, maybe weren't buying in to some of the coaching, maybe weren't taking the coaching, maybe weren't putting in all the effort they needed, but also pretty clear that the defensive coaching staff was not connecting with these guys. And I don't want to say that all of the defensive improvement over the last 2 weeks is fool's gold, because I don't think it all is. But this defense is not fixed. The inability to play not just competent, but good zone defense. But forget good for a minute, because Florida State's zone defense is not even competent at this point. It's a mess. The inability to play zone defense against Clemson will be a fatal error, unless Clemson just totally self-destructs somehow. Because when you have a running quarterback, which Florida State has not faced the last 2 weeks, and that's helped amass some of its errors, you cannot play this much man coverage, because it involves everybody with their back to the quarterback, and that allows him easily to take off, run with the ball. You need to be able to mix zone and man coverages against a mobile quarterback. And right now, Florida State does not appear to be able to play zone coverage well enough to do that against a team like Clemson, against a team like, you know, NC State, who Finley can run a little bit. Probably whoever they play in a bowl game down the stretch. Florida's quarterback doesn't run, and their offense is not any good. So I still feel pretty good about that game in Doak Campbell. But I would caution you that the defense is not totally fixed, but there are some things that will translate. Derek Nnadi had a really nice game again today. And if the reason why he was playing not up to his standard early in the year is that he was more hurt than Florida State let on, well, then that's an encouraging sign because he continues to get assumedly healthier, as well as Josh Sweat, who I think continued to give pretty good effort for the most part today. If Florida State gets Sweat and Nnadi to play to the level that they have over the last 2 weeks, that's going to help them regardless of what coverage they're playing. But at the same time, I still don't think this is like a top 25 type defense right now, in my opinion, just because of their issues in the back seven. Their teams with more skill than Wake Forest, especially if they have a mobile quarterback, are going to take advantage of them. They can't simplify it anymore. They actually need to be able to be a little bit more complex than they are, because right now what they're doing is very simple, and it's really effective against these lesser offenses, which I'm kind of leaning towards Miami might kind of be. But I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Ultimately, my bigger concern right now is probably still the defense. But I tell you what, the offense is really kind of inching up there. And it might be, if they continue to play so poorly in the first half, I don't know what the solution is. It's Jimbo Fisher's job to find it. And so far, through five games against Power 5 competition, he is not. But be interested to hear your thoughts on this. Special teams was also not that good today. Allowed a return touchdown that was called back via penalty, but still had some guys out of position. Aguayo missed yet again, another field goal. A situation that I thought that Florida State should have probably tried to put a better emphasis on, you know, maybe throwing short of the sticks there, and one of two things are going to happen. Either A, if you throw short of the sticks and complete it, that makes a shorter field goal attempt, or B, perhaps you complete it far enough to where it either gets a first down or you have a manageable fourth down attempt in that sort of gray zone where you really should go for it. But that's a very disappointing performance on the day for FSU. 17-6 is not getting it done. The attendance looked pretty poor, which, as it should, with a product like this. If 2015 was a rebuilding year, and if you hype this team as a legitimate national title contender, as was, you know, done on the booster circuit, and the potential to be as good as any team, blah, 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 well, you can't play like this, not for extended periods of time, and that appears to be happening. I'll chat with you all again on, we'll publish on Tuesday, and Ingram and I will chat on Monday night. As always, thanks to our sponsors, Louisiana Hot Sauce and Madison Social. We don't do the full ad reads on the instant reaction. Maybe we will in the future, but great sponsors that help us out, and they appreciate our honesty. We don't BS our listeners. We're not going to say things that aren't true. And this team has a lot of issues. It has a tough quarterback, but not really a great one right now, or even necessarily a really good one. It's has a lot of issues, and I think Florida State fans should be concerned with the lack of focus and the lack of edge that this team plays with. That's on the coaching staff, because it's their jobs to get their teams to play with an edge and with focus. But man, that is that's not good. Actually, I still have I just found the audio here, so I'm going to play you the answer that Jimbo Fisher gave when he was asked about the offense's poor starts in first halves against the Power 5 teams. Just for some background here, only four touchdowns scored by Florida State in five first halves against Power 5 teams. Florida State is averaging 8.6 points in the first half against Power 5 teams. That's atrocious. So I'm going to play for you now Jimbo Fisher's answer. It's about a minute and a half, and then with that, I think we'll wrap.
You go back, first half, Ole Miss, we did a little bit. We haven't had three and out till today. Today's the first three and out. You at least want to change field position. Charleston Southern, we scored. Who was the third game? Louisville, we moved it, then got the sack, then scored the next two. Who was the fourth one? South Florida did it. North Carolina, we actually went down and had three field goals. I mean, you say you didn't score. You kicked three field goals and scored 9 points in the first quarter. It's still a good game. Then last week at Miami, we missed a cut. If Dalvin hits the first, third, and one, it's a touchdown. I mean, it's a walk-in. He just missed a cut. Second drive, we're moving, and he dropped the ball on the empty play. It set us back, and then we scored. And then this week, three and out, they busted our tail. So, I don't think it's not as – you got to finish drives, but it's just part of it. Got to get better at it. Got to work on it. We try to script them, do everything, come out, energy. Got to play better. Now, on defense, remember, they were starting slow. Now, they're starting good. So, I mean, we just got to – keep going. Just keep playing and coaching and go what we're doing.
I know last year you talked a little bit about, hey, with these first halves, it was guys trying to be too perfect, and then they got it in the second half. Is it still that, or is it something?
No, it ain't that. I mean, we play well, play bad. I mean, it's good teams you're playing. Playing some good people, too. Yeah. Like I say, North Carolina, if you kick three field goals, is it that bad? Miami, if you make a cut. I mean, it's not drastic. It's just you got to execute what you're doing. Do what we do.
Jimbo, how encouraging was it after the game last week for your defense to come out and play as hard and physical?
Oh, played great today. They did. They just controlled the line of scrimmage. Getting them guys healthy up front is making a difference. Our defense is great. I mean, and becoming, you know, playing like they can play. And very proud of them. You talk about a situation they got put in today when they played the tailbone. Cover and did everything.
You were worried about the relief syndrome.
All right. I hope that worked for you. If it didn't, you can always find it on TomahawkNation.com. We have all of Jimbo Fisher's interviews and the player interviews as well on the front page. So with that, as always, your feedback is appreciated, and hope everybody has a good one. Be safe this weekend as you listen to this and travel back from the game if you actually went, although from the attendance, I'm guessing a lot of you did not.